Show.
Hey, babe. You're drinking kombucha.
I am.
I'm drinking Red Bull.
I moved to LA. I started drinking kombucha.
Mm-hmm. We should. It's we're like a TV show. She drinks kombucha. He drinks Red Bull together. They're obnoxious. I don't know. I got to the point where coffee feels weird in my body and Red Bull feels right.
I think that's how you know that you are. You're like a true garbage machine running on garbage.
Yeah. It's like when in nature, when an animal has to adapt to something crazy to survive, that's what I've done to
my
body.
It's like regular fuel isn't enough for you. You now have to drink the diesel of energy drinks to just keep your shit going.
I've tried other ones. And the problem is they make them taste better. And then you're like, oh, I can just drink this. But that is not how you should be feeling about energy drinks. Energy drinks should feel like you're smoking a cigarette.
Except smoking cigarettes is fun. I only do it every once in a while.
Right.
But, yeah.
Like, you know those animals that evolve so crazy that you're like, what circumstances happened for years that they had to do, like the anglerfish or whatever that has a light that hangs out in the dark and then it eats fish that come to it. Like, that's crazy.
That's bananas.
Or
I didn't even know that was a real thing. I'm picturing a fish, like a cartoon fish with a hard hat on.
Not too bad. It's
like
actually one of the scariest looking fishes ever. Its teeth like are protrude from its face on both on the tops and bottoms. It looks like a blowfish, but a nightmare.
Huh.
And it has a like an antenna, but just one in the middle, and it
has like
it
a reading lamp
out.
Attached.
Yeah, it's like got a like the thing you clip to your book.
Uh-huh.
It's got one of those that hangs out over in front of its face, and it's far enough that you can't see the fish; you just see the light.
Right. So I guess you're saying if you drink enough Red Bull, your body's just gonna adapt. Like you're gonna sprout like a horn that you'll find some excellent use for,
or wings.
Or wings. Oh my god. This is not sponsored, people.
No, it's not. It should be.
Or
the spider monkey owl. And you know about that? I don't know if I'm getting that name right, but it's an owl that eats monkeys. Have you seen this thing?
No, I haven't.
It's terrifying. It flies full speed through thick jungle. Like 40 miles an hour and just like grabs monkeys off of trees and eats whole monkeys.
That sounds like just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So a soft spot of Julian's is actually watching scary nature stuff. Give the people some of the handles. Check these Instagrams out.
Oh, yeah. There's wild nature.
Nature is scary.
The dark side of nature. Nature is scary and nature is metal. Those are the if you got all those, you're going to get all the videos you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look over at Julian and it looks like he's just gotten like a really intense email or like work news. And it's just because he's watching.
It's like a shark eating a whale.
Yeah.
It's not. And if you are going to get into those, by the way, don't worry. They don't show like humans dying or anything like that. It's like all nature stuff. So.
Which the vegans will not be happy about. But it's not people killing them.
No.
It's
not.
Just the animal kingdom, man.
Mm-hmm. It's instead of slaughter, it's just like individual murders of animals between other animals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you watch on Instagram? What's your like thing that you watch more of, do you think, than anything else?
That's a good question. I think I look at mostly art stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like art videos. I like watching people put together mixed media stuff.
Like art creation videos, like time lapse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made a few of those.
Yeah, they're awesome. They look great.
Thanks. My Instagram is @meg.malloy. Let's double check. Yeah.
But you,
Meg.Molloy.
Those videos look like somebody else helped you and they did not. You did them all yourself and they're amazing.
I think that Julian is super easily impressed by any kind of technological anything. And they're not.
I admit that I'm biased because I'm in love with you, but also you'd make great stuff.
He is my stage dad.
Yeah.
He's like, look at this shining star. Look at everything that she can do. And I got to say, it's pretty nice. I've never had someone believe in me.
I got you on the stage at Chippendales.
So hard. He did get me on the stage at Chippendales. I felt like he was like my mom or something.
He was like,
look at how hot she looks. She's really bringing it tonight. And he kept pointing at me and like screaming and clapping. Mm-hmm. And
lo and behold,
baby, look who made it to the stage.
I know. And you got to meet your not soft spot, but wet spot from high school.
Tyson Beckford. Who truly looks so perfect.
He looks like he just stepped out of a Janet Jackson video in 1994.
Yeah, he looks insane. I mean, his moves are crazy. His body is crazy. He's so nice. We took a really great picture together, and we looked so much like a couple. I was like, I don't know if I should post this,
yeah.
But I put it in my stories, and I probably will post it.
Okay, that's fine.
Content, baby.
I love when a woman thinks a hunk is being really nice. Like, that's all that's going on. He was letting you know.
No, he was letting every lady know.
Yeah.
And then we saw him about to let a lady know.
Yeah, he was about to let her know all night.
They definitely left together.
She just hung out all night by herself waiting for him.
If you know what it was to have a crush on Tyson Beckford when he was like on the runway, he was like the Tommy Hilfiger dude.
Yeah, so he did runway work.
Yes, he was like all over the place around middle school, early high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what a hunk of flawless man.
Yeah.
So you can imagine I was like, oh my God, I can't even like unlock my phone.
I've never seen you cheesing so hard. Your smile was like ear to ear.
He kept complimenting me and I was like, ah. I was like, my panties have just like disintegrated.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to act. And,
he stole the shower scene.
He did steal the shower scene.
He took a shower on stage.
He did.
Totally naked.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Julian and I left, and there's a Wetzel's Pretzels conveniently located next door to the Chippendales Theater. And, Julian may or may not have gotten the classic Julian McCullough order of a midnight pretzel dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely got like a giant cheese pretzel. And I was just feeling superhuman at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, these carbs will have no effect on me. And so we sit at the bar below the theater. Mm-hmm. And I am housing this thing.
Yeah.
My face is greasy.
I think I got one bite.
My fingers are greasy. I'm like inhaling this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, hey. And I look up and it's Tyson Beckford. And he's walking down the stairs and he's looking right at me. And I was like, this is not how I want him to remember me.
At least you weren't eating a smash burger. That would have been that's the only thing that would have been probably more embarrassing.
Well, their veg burgers are subpar.
They are subpar.
So.
Needless to say, we went to Vegas again. I think we finally hit our limit on Vegas.
And I apologize for talking about it again. We won't do that anymore.
Well, the Tyson thing was important.
I know, that was a real moment for me.
I was saying, I get it. I get why you're so excited, because for me, it would have been like a Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah.
If I had met Claudia Schiffer, I'd lose my shit. Yeah.
10 stars.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get enough.
So, let's get to our... by the way, we don't have a guest today. So if you were trying to hear a third voice, turn it off. Yeah. It's just this.
Tough shit.
But we got something real fun planned, so I think you might want to stick around.
For anybody who remembers our last solo endeavor, we talked about the music from our childhood and the stuff we listened to in our parents' cars.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the stuff we chose to listen to, but sort of the stuff that shaped us.
Yeah.
And
so for this episode, we're going to do
stuff
TV
we watched.
Shows.
TV shows.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. My first one is a real strange, like, cult classic. I feel like most everyone that was a kid in the like mid to late 80s, I'm pretty sure that's when it was on, has heard of this show. Fairy Tale Theater, hosted by Shelley Duvall. And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, as I remember it, and I've watched a few episodes as an adult, it was like the sort of darker retelling of the classic fairy tales, like the Brothers Grimm.
So she would come out in, what was the set of the, like, when she would open it?
She was serving like a serious of the moment look.
Okay.
With her
hip. It was hip. It was now. It was showtime.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. As hip as that was, she was like in an empty theater, I believe.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I haven't checked any of this, and I'm really just going off of my child memory, mm-hmm. so maybe I'm wrong here. But I'm pretty sure she comes out in an empty theater, and she starts to tell you. I think she kind of gets into what the moral of the fairy tale is, and then is kind of like, let's see. And the guests that were on this show, it was kind of insane. Jean Stapleton, Jennifer Beals, Jeff Goldblum, Matthew Broderick, Susan Sarandon. I remember Christopher Reeve, definitely. Because
this was in the 70s?
Superman. You know what?
Not 80s? Because those, not to interrupt, but I mean, I feel like those stars are mostly 80s.
No, I said 80s. In the 80s.
Oh, in the 80s, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It ran from 82 to 87.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
But it was definitely still being run pretty regularly, I want to say into the mid-90s. Now I think it's pretty hard to find. You could definitely get a hold of the DVD. Bernadette Peters was
of
in
course.
It, and
yeah.
I was just wanted to be her. I still want to be her.
Yeah.
Like, what? A babe. Still, what a babe.
Oh, yeah? She held up?
She has held up. Oh, my God. She is incredible. She still sings. I saw her on an episode of Mozart in the Jungle.
Uh-huh.
I haven't watched the whole thing, but I saw an episode where she's like, maybe I'm going to be like a jazz lounge singer for a minute. And her voice is still like, just everything.
Her hair, what is that?
Land, I know you're feeling this. Her hair is incredible. It's like these...
Is it always that curly thing from The Jerk? Because that's really all I know her from.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is like perfect angelic little tendrils.
Yeah. She's like if Shirley Temple grew up, even though Shirley Temple did grow up, she's like what Shirley Temple was supposed to become.
Oh, okay.
That's how I look at it. So tell me about the show. What do you remember from this show?
I remember having like a major little kid crush on Christopher Reeve because I also loved Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a hunk, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's like when if the male figure from the male restroom just walked off the plaque, he's like a man.
Yeah. It was, I think, the first time that I ever like had a crush on a boy or any kind of feelings like that. And I was like,
I didn't know that. I didn't know you had a Christopher Reeve thing.
Yeah, I think that was my first,
I think,
like,
my mom
real...
was into him too. But it's like, you look at him and you're like, yeah, who, what female wouldn't, or
it's
male?
Not anybody.
I know, anybody.
He's so perfect looking. It doesn't matter what you're into. You can recognize that that's a good looking dude.
Yeah. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Christopher Reeve wasn't whispering shit in your ear and taking pictures with you.
So some of the ones that I remember definitely Sleeping Beauty.
Okay. Who played Sleeping Beauty? Well, what did they do? Just like
I,
the
like,
regular.
I love when you start interviewing me and asking me questions.
That's what the show is. You bring up some shit and then I ask you about it.
I'm recalling this from my childhood memory.
Okay, well, what was. What do you remember about the
Sleeping Beauty
thing?
I remember Rumpelstiltskin, that episode fucked me up.
It's such a scary story.
It's a scary story. And the dude that played Rumpelstiltskin, I was like, fuck this.
DeVito?
Probably. No, I don't know who actually played him. I would have to look up.
Why did Rumpelstiltskin scare me so much when I was a kid? I only ever knew this, like, my parents reading it to me. I didn't know, like, a TV or movie of Rumpelstiltskin.
I mean, a scary little man with magical powers that likes to steal babies.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
That can just appear or disappear whenever. Hervé Villechaize.
That all of a sudden became very not scary to me.
Oh, see, no. When I was like 6 years old, mm-hmm. I remember I was like, I don't know if I can make it through this one.
Yeah. Well, it's a scary story. So what is it again that you have to guess his name or he steals your baby or what is it?
Oh, God, I forget how this goes. Yeah, it's like you have a day or 3 days or something. It's like a scary game show. You gotta guess his name or he's going to snatch your baby.
Yeah, you don't win anything. You just don't lose your baby.
Right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Lose Your Baby. I'm your host. You have to guess. Oh, Mary lost her baby.
Oh, my God. So now I really want to get back into this. Also, I feel like I have a lot of fact checking to do because I'm talking about it.
I will say this. It sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was dark, which is cool.
Yeah.
And, is there a theme song or you couldn't find it?
I couldn't find
okay.
it.
So I definitely want to. Land says it's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I feel weird watching TV shows on YouTube. I don't know why.
Box set. I just saw that there's a box set. I'm mm-hmm. like, might have to.
Yeah, but if you open it, it steals your soul and your baby. No,
I dare someone to steal my baby. She'd be like, "You're not my mama."
Okay, so yours was very cool.
Yeah,
little bit. It was highbrow.
Highbrow. I wouldn't say highbrow.
I mean, it's probably Bernadette Peters, Jeff Goldblum.
I know.
Christopher Reeves.
The cream of the crop, truly. It's probably a little edgier, more sophisticated than what yours is going to be, but you know, whatever.
I don't know if you knew this, but when I was a kid, I was a basic bitch, and then I never grew up. So my first favorite show that I thought of when you said what was one of your favorite TV shows as a kid is this one.
DuckTales?
Yep. Hurricane. I haven't listened to this in forever. It's called Duckburg. I love how easy it is to write stuff for kids.
Can you imagine being a writer back then?
Oh, and it starts to stream, but that's okay. Imagine being... I've always wondered how you write children's television. I don't understand where you go in your brain, what part of your brain works like a child to entertain a child.
Well, I kind of love that it was called Duckburg because it's like... Simple, man.
I know.
To the point.
Exactly. And it rhymes with duck blur, the next line in the song. So it's perfect.
It is perfect.
DuckTales debuted in 1987. I was 8 years old, living in San Francisco, mm-hmm. at the peak of San Francisco, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a latchkey kid.
Uh-huh.
So I would get home. School would let out at like 4:08 or something like that. And I
never understood why the exact minute.
I never understood that either. You got to pick a minute, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess so.
I would go over to Divisadero Street, which ran through Castro.
Mm-hmm.
Because my elementary school is in the Castro district, which was the gayest neighborhood in San Francisco. So, whoa. And it was so fun and awesome, and I loved it. And it was.
And it explains Julian's appreciation for a nice dong, honestly.
But I would ride the city bus to school because I would take the 24 Divisadero because...
I would have had such a crush on you. I would have been like, Julian rides the public bus.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him my boyfriend.
Well, I was alone with adults on the public bus watching the school bus go by full of my friends and being like, oh.
I know, but can you imagine how that looked to like the ladies in your class?
Oh, yeah. Also, I walked around with a switchblade in my teeth, so it was
pretty
cool.
We were like, he's dangerous.
Yeah. The reason I had to take a city school bus was because my parents lied about where we lived so I could go to an elementary school where I wouldn't die. It was because we lived in a very scary part. Anyway, I would take the city bus all the way home by myself, let myself in. I literally had a shoelace necklace with our house key tied to it around my neck.
All of this is screaming bad boy to me, and I'm like loving it.
And would get home, and then my sister would come home. I think she was, I don't remember if we get home at the same time. I don't really remember that. But
I'm picturing you with your little like dagger earring and your
mullet.
Yeah, and your
this
mullet.
Was that time. I had a dagger earring that dangled from my left earlobe because I thought it made me look like Axl Rose. And I saw a picture one time and it did not. So I would get home and watch TV. That's what you do when you don't have your parents around. And DuckTales was the show that I would watch every single day. I used to tape it and put it on VHS tapes. And I loved the imagination of that show. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of kids' TV shows back then were very straightforward. DuckTales was like, you know, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, they'd go back in time. There was treasure hunting. You'd learn about, they'd travel to, like, South America, and you'd get to see, like, volcanoes and all that. It was awesome. It was like an adventure show, and I really liked that.
Right.
It wasn't like a family show where, you know, Huey has to learn how to share. That's not what that show was about. It was like an adventure every night, every day. So it was awesome.
I think those kind of shows are better.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're supposed to learn how to share from your parents and your friends, not TV being like,
right. You shouldn't be relying on TV to teach your kid the major life lessons.
Those Daniel Tiger songs can only do so much.
Yeah. Although I will say my kid is like a library of Daniel Tiger songs, and given the right scenario, I don't even know who writes those. It's like they write them as the show is being filmed.
I know. The melodies sound so random. They're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's time to share.
Up and down. If you're sad, don't punch your sister. it doesn't make any sense.
Last thing I'll say about DuckTales, besides it being, I thought, a very ambitious show for children that did not insult our intelligence. It was very cool. The Great Earthquake in 1989, that was a 7.2 on the Richter scale, and collapsed a freeway on top of another one, the Cypress structure, and stopped the World Series. That all happened while watching an episode of DuckTales, and I'll just never forget the whole house starting to shake like crazy and our chandelier almost flying out of our...
You were like, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are coming to get me and we're going on an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. And I survived that. So DuckTales is amazing and I was obsessed with it. And I think they brought it back, but I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't seen... I mean, there are no new ideas anymore, so I wouldn't be surprised if they take an old classic and totally bastardize it.
No, I think they just, like, brought it back whole hog.
Although, I will say, loved Magic School Bus, although it's not on the list I'm talking about today. I loved Magic School Bus so much. Mm-hmm. I loved Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was like, what a hero. She's, like, such a smart, cool lady. Loved her in 9 to 5. She was my favorite character. Mm-hmm. And the remake of Magic School Bus, I think it's Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, it is.
It's so great.
Yeah,
it's like
it's really good.
It's like they never stopped. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And it's one of the few shows that's been brought back where I'm like, the integrity still remains.
Yeah. Magic School Bus was something I never saw when I was a kid. I don't know how I missed it, but I never saw it. But that is a show that I think is on the level of a DuckTales where they really expand they really have a lot of imagination on that show.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that I'm old enough, I'm like, oh, that was definitely... There were, like, some mornings that we would watch that at school. I'm like, my teachers were probably, like, hung over.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to learn space today.
All right. So far we have Fairy Tale Theater and DuckTales. What is your...
Good times, bad times, in between. My friends will see me through.
You know, I love this. Oh man, listen to those pipes.
All together singing our song.
Sing!
No,
come
it's
on.
Too bad. I can't sing like a chipmunk. Babysitter's Club, say hello to yeah.
I want to know who sang that song because she really was giving it everything she had.
I know. And I know I've talked about this so many times and I'm sorry. And
haven't really talked about the Babysitter's Club TV show that much on the show.
I feel like anytime we've talked about a TV show, I've been like, about the Babysitter's Club, am I right?
Yeah. It's a guest is like Breaking Bad and you're like, have you seen the Babysitter's Club?
Julian, if you guys know, also, huge fan of The Babysitter's Club.
The books. Never watched the show, never saw the movie.
He's a purist. He
just
didn't
know where it was. Couldn't find it, didn't watch it. Would have loved to.
I could not get enough of this show.
Where was it? Was it on like ABC or whatever? Was it a morning show? Was it a Saturday show? Do you remember like when it was on? Because I just don't remember it.
You know what? I did not have cable for most of elementary school. Mm. I mean, we had like PBS and stuff like that, but I don't remember having a ton of channels.
Well, this was 90s, right?
Yes. But I do remember, like, when I had a friend who had cable, you would, like, bring a tape to their house and tape whatever show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, and I remember I taped the Babysitter's Club. I taped, like, 4 episodes, and I just watched them over and over.
Do you remember
over.
Which any of the 4 plots that like which what the episodes were about?
I remember one of them was Claudia, the what's the séance one? It's a
A Ghost at Dawn's House?
Mm,
no.
Maybe it was A Ghost at Dawn's House, but yeah. Claudia's like, we should have a séance.
I mean, and I can't imagine like, they had another one.
I know, probably. I was like, God, Claudia dresses so cool, and she's an artist, and she's, like, into the spiritual realm, and I just feel like that's my girl. But also, Stacy was, like, kind of a wild card, and she was into
fashion.
Crazy
Stacy. That was number 8.
I was always very, like, I'm team Claudia. I'm team Stacy. But the good news about the Babysitter's Club is that they're all one team. You never really have to choose
one.
You
don't have to choose. It's not like Sex in the City where they all hate each other.
Yeah, you can't be like, I'm a little bit Miranda and a little bit Charlotte. Bitch, you're a Charlotte or you're a Miranda. You cannot be both.
The Babysitter's Club would come together and form one perfect person.
Yeah.
You know?
So this show did not run for very long.
It was all downhill after the theme song.
It was originally on HBO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's why I never saw it.
And that's why I only remember seeing it on
HBO?
I know.
That's so weird.
I know. Megan Andrews as Mallory Pike. Melissa Chess as Dawn Schaefer. Mm-hmm. Avriel Hillman as Christy Thomas. Megan Leahy as Marianne Spire. Nicole Leach as Jesse Ramsey. Jessica Prunell as Stacey McGill. And Jenny Winslow as Claudia Kishi. I've looked all these ladies up.
And
most of them are yoga teachers in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, I want to take a yoga class with one of them.
I know. I know.
They'll be like, breathe in and say hello to your friends.
Okay. Marianne and the Brunettes, Dawn and the Haunted House. So it was the ghost in Dawn's attic. I guess they just changed.
Dawn and the Haunted House. Okay, yeah.
Claudia and the Missing Jewels. Remember that one like it was yesterday. Claudia and the Secret Passage. As you can see.
Secret Passage was one of my favorite.
Jesse and the Mystery
books.
Of the Stolen Secrets, the Babysitters and the Boy Sitters.
What? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This was on HBO.
Dawn Saves the Trees. I know. I know. But
what boring one.
But I was like.
The trees are like, help. And Stacy's like, guys. And they're like, ugh. There's no stolen secrets.
So they rounded out this I got a sneeze coming.
Uh-oh. Say hello to my friends. Your friends? Oh, my God. The sneeze is, like, really working on itself.
It's
you're working it out.
It's fine. We can just get rid of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the final episode of this short-lived wonder.
I think it was 1 season or 2 seasons.
It was 1 season.
1 season.
The Babysitters Remember. And it's all of them.
They did a look back on 1 season?
Yeah. And I remember being devastated that was it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another one of my favorites.
Okay. Well,
so there you go.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
And I really do. I want to watch a couple episodes of that just to see how bad it was.
How wonderful it was.
I love that we both taped these shows so far.
You watch your tongue.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, here's my next one. No warning. This was on, not after school, but Friday night.
Whoa. Skinamax.
This still makes me feel so good. How good is that theme?
Sometimes the world is perfect.
Nothing can be arranged. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change.
What is this?
Perfect Strangers.
Oh, I didn't ever watch that. This time,
I listen to I can easily listen to this song like it's a real pop song and be like, yes!
It sounds exactly like your chosen genre.
This is my Here I Go Again on My Own by Whitesnake. I see no difference in quality between this song and that song. Perfect Strangers was the story of cousin Colson Larry Appleton and Balky Bartokomus. Cousin Larry was started out as a furniture salesman in an antique store in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day he gets a knock on his front door and Balky is standing there from the fictional town of Mipos, which I believe was in Greece, but they never got specific so that they couldn't be called racist for all the jokes they were going to do about Balky. Unless Mipos is real land and I just thought it was made up and I'm racist. Anyway, I'm comfortable with being stupid. I'm half Greek and I don't know if Mipos is real. But it's a good name for a kid. Mipos.
It's a big country, so...
Who knows?
Who knows,
maybe,
man?
Maybe it's in the back.
Yeah.
He shows up and claims to be Larry's cousin.
Uh-huh.
Long lost. And immediate... you never saw Perfect Strangers?
No.
Balky is a cheerful, kind of Christ-like, saintly figure. He's pure joy,
mm-hmm.
pure generosity, pure friendship. I mean, he just is a light in your life. And yes, he smells like a gyro, but you get over that quickly because he moves in with Larry. Larry's uptight,
mm-hmm.
and Balky, it's a classic odd couple situation.
Right.
Larry needs to learn how to loosen up. Balky needs to grow up. And they kind of help each other do that. They have something called the Dance of Joy. You don't know that one. That's where they hug each other and kick their legs out to the side. And they go, now we are so happy, we do the Dance of Joy. And at home, you're smiling because you're like, I'm friends with them, too. I think it ran for a decent amount of time, 3 or 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And... they eventually start working at an advertising agency or a radio show. I can't remember. But anyway, they become inseparable. They are family. And I never found out or never looked up whether or can remember if they were actually cousins. My guess is that they are absolutely not cousins. And Balky just showed up and was like, I'm your cousin. And Larry let him live with him. And then that was the show. And I just loved whenever it was part of the lineup, the TGIF lineup. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you were young. But you probably knew the later ones, like Family Matters.
Yeah, Family Matters, that was like a...
What's the roller coaster one?
Step by step.
So by that time, I had aged out of TGIF.
Uh-huh.
So mine were Perfect Strangers, Full House, spoiler alert for the rest of this episode. but Perfect Strangers was like one of the first ones, and mm-hmm. I think it was one of the first ones to get canceled and replaced by something like Step by Step, and I was devastated, and I don't think anyone else cared. I thought everyone else was like, this is way better.
I watched Step by Step occasionally just because it was on, if I was like in zombie mode, and mm-hmm. I was just like, I'll watch whatever.
Yeah.
But I remember feeling like... Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers don't even have chemistry.
They have no chemistry.
I remember thinking that as a child, and I was like, who cast this?
I know. Hey, you know who had chemistry? Cousin Larry Appleton and Balky Bartokomus. But anyway, great show. Loved it. So when I hear that song, I still get so... I didn't even realize how much I was going to be happy when I heard that theme song. I fucking love that song.
He's crying, you guys.
I know. And the best part is, in the old days... of TV, they used to have that theme. Now the theme song is like a jingle. It's like, you know, okay, let's start the show. You know? And back then it was like a full
pop
song.
We're going to need a power ballad.
Yeah.
It was
like 2.5 minutes. And what I love is they show a montage of Larry leaving his home to go move to Chicago and Balky getting on a goat wagon and going to America on a boat and seeing like the Statue of Liberty, which makes no sense. And because they're in Chicago. But he but like I love that they have to show the entire premise of the show every episode in the beginning to a 2-minute pop song, and I miss that.
I do miss that too. Mm-hmm. Someone saying that they're your cousin, mm-hmm. showing up at your door, mm-hmm. and expecting to be taken in with open arms is a perfect intro to my next one.
Guys, it's time that we talk to you about Robin Hood. Not the movie.
The investment app. It lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free.
Commission-free.
They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy.
I am often intimidated by, as a stock market newcomer by, you know, my first purchase of a stock.
But investing is scary.
It is. And Robinhood
is scary. It feels like a very grown-up thing. It's like one of those things in life where when you do it, you're like, oh, I'm like a real grown-up now.
Yeah. But they have a simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way, which is all of the things I need around the stock market. Because hopefully there's like pictures and fun stuff going on. if you can make
a color by numbers investment type of thing.
If we can make this like Candy Crush, I am in.
Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. It's easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The Robinhood web platform also lets you view stock collections, like entertainment, social media, and curated categories like female CEOs.
Girl power.
Yeah. And analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. So basically what they're doing is saying the stock market is very complicated and scary looking. We're going to make an app that makes it look very obvious and fun.
Robinhood is giving listeners of The Soft Spot a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at softspot.robinhood.com. That's softspot, SOFTSPOT, .robinhood.com.
I told you we should work on our segues, and that was really good, babe.
Whenever possible, the actual family members and police officials have participated in recreating the events.
Is this Unsolved Mysteries?
What you're about to see is not a news broadcast.
What is it?
Yeah, bitch, it's Unsolved Mysteries.
It's Unsolved Mysteries? I got it right? I couldn't watch it when I was a kid. I was too scared.
Do you know who got me into Unsolved Mysteries?
Who?
My youngest sister, Maddie.
Really?
She started watching it like every day when she was like 4 years old.
Oh.
And I was like, I guess I'll watch it too.
What happened to our children in this country?
I don't know.
They used to be so cool.
I was in like 6th or 7th grade and I'd be babysitting her and she'd be like, you want to watch Unsolved Mysteries with me? Like, you're so dark.
Maddie has been 90 years old since she was born.
She truly has been.
What was that guy's name?
Robert Stack, who always had on a really bitchin' trench coat.
Yes. And his voice just brings you back.
His voice was like, bitch, something really bad happened.
But we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So wait a second. Let me just ask you the dumbest question of all time.
What?
Are these solved mysteries or not?
A lot of the time, Unsolved Mysteries actually helped because at the end of a show, they'd have like reenactments and they'd give all of the information that they had. But a lot of these cases were unsolved or
cold,
gone cold. And they had a number that would show up on the screen and they were like, if you have any information. And they actually ended up solving a lot of cases
because people watched
it. And they were like, oh, man, that sounds a whole lot like my neighbor, Tom, who just out of the blue moved here from Florida.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy.
Like, yeah, it was nuts. So
I wonder if anybody ever saw the actors from the reenactments on the street and they were like, I found them.
You know what? It's crazy because the reenactments were pretty bad. And I don't know what that camera work was back in the day where it was like everything was kind of blurred.
Yeah. Maybe they thought it was
what
like,
is the name for that? But everything
stole,
looked blurred and kind
Barbara
of hectic.
Walters Vaseline camera.
Yeah. It was just, it was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I loved Unsolved Mysteries.
I remember it used to really scare me because I, even as a kid, I wasn't afraid of monsters. I was afraid of real people. And I remember being like, they never found this guy, so he's just out there. Like, that used to really freak me out.
A lot of the time, whenever they would solve them, because they were playing this show nonstop.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, there would be an update, and they'd be like,
right.
So, you know, your neighbor Tom was apprehended.
Right.
Everything is fine. I just say that because it was always like some creepy, I don't want to say creepy old white dude, but I feel like it was always a creepy
it's
old
fine.
White dude.
Yeah.
And he, you know, just disappeared with, you know, a body in his trunk or whatever,
right.
And started a new life somewhere else with all these unsuspecting neighbors. And it's like, yeah, that show definitely... definitely help solve some mysteries.
That's great.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if they did it later. Like, update. Last week, we talked about Robert Stevenson, a creepy old guy who started killing people or whatever. And they're like, and he was found right behind you. But yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah, it was.
That's like the template for so many things that are popular today.
I know. None of these true crime things. There are so many true crime things now. None of these true crime TV shows, I feel like there's probably a television network. I mean, I haven't had cable in forever.
Investigative something.
Yeah,
whatever ID is.
And it's
is.
Basically an entire network of unsolved mysteries.
Right.
And it's like, you know, ladies who have gone crazy and killed their spouses.
Yeah.
Like, ladies, don't you just love it how we're always painted as the crazy
I
ones?
Know.
But it's always dudes that are like mass murdering and I don't want to get into the politics of it, but I do.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like Robert shot at and missed his wife and she snapped.
Exactly. Exactly. So she just picked up a, you know,
yeah.
a machete that she had lying around and chopped him into tiny pieces.
Right.
Well, motherfucker, if
he
you're
shot
getting,
at her.
Yeah. And if you're getting beat all the time, which
mm-hmm.
let's face it, a lot of these women
well,
are. A
I
lot
assume
of these
if you're
women,
watching that show, they do flesh out what a douchebag the guy was.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, it's usually like he was such a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
He couldn't help it that his secretary Susan was in love with him. Like, shut up.
Well, I mean, he couldn't help it. So, since I already ruined it, let's get to it. This was my other one. I wasn't sure if I even wanted to do this because it's fucking Full House and it did not age well.
Whatever happened to predictability?
The milkman,
the paper boy, an evening TV.
It's like, whatever happened to evening TV, we're watching it right now. Full House is on at night. Dave Coulier. So I had a real sweet spot for Full House for several reasons. One, you have two choices as a child for television anyway. And this was part of the TGIF lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm already watching it.
Got to pick the lesser of the evils.
Yeah. There just wasn't much out there. So
mm-hmm.
you watch Full House on Friday night. What, are you going to go out? You're 8.
Right.
We lived in San Francisco. And at one point, my dad, when my parents split up for a year, my dad moved into one of the houses that's in the background when they do, like, the park scene
mm-hmm.
where the car is parked. In a public park, by the way, that's up on a wall. Like, there's no way. They had a crane bring that car up there to park it in the to have that picnic.
Wow.
TV is bullshit.
You watched a lot of TV. I have no idea what you're
in
talking about.
In the theme
about.
Song.
I know what you're talking about with the, like, the painted houses or whatever. But the car on the wall, that's
you
not really
that?
Ringing any bells
well, they
for
were,
me.
Well, they're having a picnic in the park, and their red convertible is parked next to them as they have a picnic. But there's no way for, literally no way for a car to get up there.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
they had used a crane or something to get the car up there. Mm. Anyway.
I feel like that's one of the least offensive things that they've done on that show.
Yeah, that wasn't nearly as bad as the lie that this family would have been happy together. I was obsessed with this show. I mean, I'm not. I wish I could say I wasn't. I wish I could say as a kid I was smarter and I knew that this show was crap, and I wasn't. I just loved it so much, and my parents hated this show.
It's okay. You know, the only person who was smarter, people, Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
Don't you love how they're like?
They're like, full what?
Yeah. We have no idea what you're talking
they're
about.
They're like, we were kidnapped and put on that
They'll
show.
They'll like ride for those crazy movies that they made together. They're like,
oh, they
Weekend in Paris or whatever. I feel like they're less ashamed of those
yeah.
than they are of Full House. They want nothing to do with Full House. And let's face it, some people from that show, there's some pretty heavy evangelical stuff.
No, I know, yeah. I don't even want to get into that. I'll just get into that. It is a happy memory for me still. It was like a couple of years ago, I tried to watch an original episode of Full House again, and I was like, oh my God, I had no idea it was this bad, and I felt so bad for my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you're a kid, it's that thing where you just assume you know stuff, but you just don't, because you think Uncle Jesse is cool. Like, you think,
I know,
because he wears a leather jacket and says, babe, that you're like, that's the coolest dude in San Francisco. And I thought Uncle Joey was funny, for real. I thought, you know, the whole thing was just so...
Let's face it. Joey was not funny.
No.
Jesse would have never gotten...
Laid.
Because he's a loser that lives in the attic.
Certainly not by my dream girl, Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin. What a babe.
I did not know how to talk about how I felt about Aunt Becky.
Becky still looks the exact same.
Yeah.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
She never would have looked twice at a dude like that. Yeah, he's good looking, but he lives in the attic. And I'm sorry, but they never would have conceived and then had twins.
I know.
They lived in the attic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
The funny thing is, she was a co-host of a TV show with Bob Saget's character, Danny Tanner. So she's like a famous morning talk show host.
And she lives in someone's attic.
And she starts dating a Elvis wannabe in the 80s.
Like, right. Anyway. Who happens to inexplicably be friends with the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was
the Hawaii episode.
Here are my friends, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
I remember being like,
I'm just going to go jam with the Beach Boys.
What the fuck?
I hate to admit it, but it's just, I loved it. I really loved that show. I liked that show a lot,
too.
I was like, that's the show.
I liked that show.
That was my Breaking Bad. That was my Sopranos, was Full House. So we can move on.
Kimmy Gibbler was my favorite character.
Yeah.
I was like, I love this kooky neighbor lady. She'll just wear whatever she wants. She doesn't give a fuck. Her parents don't like her. She's storming into your kitchen, eating your food.
I mean, what a geek burger with cheese.
To be so bold, I wish I could just be... I feel like she was the underdog of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, who knew that Dave Coulier had it in him to snag Alanis Morissette and then ruin her fucking life and have one of the best records ever of all time?
Thanks, Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
No problem.
Cut it out.
I'm Bullwinkle. What a dork. He still does stand-up. I am on the calendar after him in many shows and many clubs that I go to.
Man.
And I did have a huge crush on Candace Cameron, but that's just, like, so basic.
That's
okay.
What are
you gonna do when you're that age? She had a Bon Jovi poster on her wall that my sister had on her wall.
Oh. So. I thought you were going to say she had, like, a GNR poster.
No. Are you kidding me, that show? That just goes to show you... If I was Bon Jovi and I knew that my poster was on the wall of Candace Cameron's character on Full House, I'd be like, I'm not doing enough as a rock and roll danger person.
You were thinking he was like, I got to hit that.
No, I was going to say, like, I'm way too wholesome if they can put my poster on the wall.
I think she was supposed to be the edgy one, though.
Oh, my God. That's so stupid. Okay.
Anyways.
Let's stop talking about Full House.
Speaking of edgy...
Ooh, what is this again?
Butterfly in the sky.
Yeah!
I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A real rainbow.
Is that Patti LaBelle? Who is that singing? It's definitely not Patti LaBelle. Is it Lance? Who's Lance Lady? Anita Baker. It's probably Anita Baker. I would love Anita Baker singing that song. It would be so buttery smooth.
I loved reading Rainbow.
It's amazing.
It made me feel cool about reading, and mm-hmm. I loved reading.
Yes.
And I loved that I loved the way LeVar Burton talked to kids. Mm-hmm. Much like Mr. Rogers, he had this magical kind of way of explaining things without sounding condescending at all.
Yeah.
He always sounded so interested in whatever... the kids had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved that. It made me feel so safe as a little nerd.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it made me feel like being smart was cool.
Yeah.
And
like you could go anywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I just remember like just being glued to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Mr. Rogers would have been another choice that was when I was a little bit younger, but honestly, I watched that one. I watched both of those for longer than I think they that I should have.
Yeah.
Just because I found them so comforting. But we've already talked about Mr. Rogers
a
lot.
Yeah, we've done
enough. But honestly, LeVar Burton is like the closest thing to Mr. Rogers that we still have, I think.
Absolutely.
Because
he's still going.
Because he's still going and he's still
reading. Check out his podcast.
Yeah, his podcast is amazing.
It's called LeVar Burton Reads.
And we saw him live. I know that he does shows somewhat regularly in LA, and I think that he tours. He is so delightful.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He
very peaceful, very calm.
His voice has some kind of magic. He just like he really makes you feel interested. And even the I remember even when they'd read books on that show that I wasn't particularly into. And it wasn't always him reading. Sometimes it was
a
like
kid,
or a kid or a narrator.
Okay,
but I just remember I was like, damn, this dude can make anything sound cool and make me want to learn more about it. And whenever we saw him live and all of these people were like
crying, basically
crying, there was a, you know, there was a woman who said she grew up in low income housing and that the only thing she basically had to hold on to was watching that show.
Yeah.
And she's gone on to achieve so much. And I want to say she's like a lawyer and a professor or something. But she was like at a time where everyone was like, be bad. It's fun to be bad. She was like, I want to read and I want to learn more. And I don't know. There were just so many stories. Basically, the Q&A was people telling LeVar Burton
that he changed their
lives.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it was like really hard to not totally lose it and cry.
It was wonderful. So that's a good one. Very good choice. Do you have a... I don't have a particular book or episode or anything like that that I remember, but I did watch it a lot and I really loved it. I love the pacing of it.
You know what? It's funny.
It's funny. It's like they took reading and they were like, watch it, watch reading on TV.
Well, what they would do is they would read a book and they would talk about a lot of the one that I remember actually is If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
Oh, really?
Which is now a TV show.
I didn't even realize that book was that old.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been around for a while. It's now a TV show, and Lisa Loeb does the music for it.
That's right.
And I don't know. Every, like, idea that went into that show, they found a way to, like, weave a cool interview into it.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't directly related. Because kids don't care. Kids aren't like, why are you talking to this guy who owns, like, a lollipop factory when you're reading this book? But he found a way to, like, make it work.
I remember... my mom would always take me and my sister to the library, and normally I remember that switching over where like I used to dread going to the library because you had to be quiet and you had to be still and all that kind of stuff. And then I think reading Rainbow was the thing that got me really into the library because I would try to look for the books that I saw on the show and it made me feel like I was reading was being part of a community of kids that were also reading it.
Right.
And that really helped me like
be excited about it. Hearing the kids come on and talk about the books that they were reading.
Yeah.
Every episode kids would recommend books and I remember like trying to furiously write down the books that they were talking about, and I would go to Helen Hall Library in League City, Texas, and try to find those books.
That's awesome. Did you ever see Beyonce as a child when you were at that?
Beyonce is not from League City.
She's not?
She's from Houston.
Oh, she's
proper.
From like actual Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. You don't know this?
I don't think so.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap was a show about a guy, Scott Bakula, who I don't know if he was dead or not. But anyway, no. He was a scientist. That's right. He was a scientist and his assistant was a hologram. And he would be sent back in time and assume the bodies of people from history. And then he would fix whatever the problem was in their lives and it would write history. Isn't that awesome? You're crazy. So as a kid, I thought it was so awesome. It had suspense and it was adventurous and it just wasn't people talking. It was like stuff was going on. I loved the idea that you could. I think here's this is all I'll say about it. Then we can move on because I know you don't care about this show.
No, it's not that I don't care about this show. I just haven't watched it. I cannot speak on it at all.
Here's why I think it appealed to me as a child.
Because I'm sure that there are people listening
who are like
will ride for Quantum Leap.
Yes. Here's why I think I liked it. when you're a child,
mm-hmm.
you feel like the world is frequently not fair. And you think that... Was that me or you?
That's me. Sorry.
Oh. I think when you're a child, you think the world is not fair and you don't have power mm-hmm. and you don't have agency enough.
Okay.
And so people are always telling you what to do or, you know, you don't have any resources, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea that you could be this guy who could go back in time and right wrongs
mm-hmm.
and, like, make an unfair situation fair really appeals to, like, a 9-year-old
right.
who's like...
I have no control.
Yeah. And this situation that he's going back to is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so satisfying to see it made right.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fantasy aspect of it. But I think that's why I liked it so much. And then I did try to watch it recently, and it is not watchable.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's something about the old TV, like, drama pacing that's just so, like...
The pacing, I will say that's the number one thing when I go back to watch old shows where I'm like, ooh.
They used to take their time.
Yeah, they did.
There was, like, one joke every 2 minutes in comedies, and it was crazy what they used to get away with.
Yeah.
But anyway, I still love this theme song, and I love the idea...
That and theme song.
I still love Scott Bakula.
Yeah, that theme song sounds like mm-hmm. it could be your theme song.
It could. It is not a leap to say that I love that song.
Oh, man.
Richard Dean Stockwell was his assistant. He was great. Okay, your turn. I think we have one more each and we got to go.
Don't laugh.
Is this a slap bracelet commercial?
Sister. This is the story of Tia and Tamara and how they were separated at birth and adopted into separate homes.
That's terrible.
Which is actually really fucking terrible.
Yeah,
we watched a
documentary
about that
this week.
Not about Tia and Tamara.
No.
That did not happen to them.
Three identical strangers.
Yeah. But on this show, it was like, huh, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It was sort of
more
of a Parent Trap take, like,
right.
No biggie, we'll just live together now.
So how did they find each other?
They met whenever they were like 14 or 15, and I can't remember how they met.
I'm sure it was explained in the theme song.
No, the theme song is like them dancing around in cool outfits,
and
it's like... you know, like animation and stuff. It doesn't really tell the story.
Yeah.
I also loved the song.
That theme song was so New Jack Swing. It's
yeah.
like so Bobby Brown. Like
it was amazing.
Know.
Jacquet Harry was Tia's mother, and Tim Reed was Tamara's father.
Wait, Jacquet?
That we just watched
from 227. Well, she's from that was 227, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So it was a spinoff.
Was it?
Yeah.
No,
if Jacquet is the same, no. Oh, she just plays the same character in every show she's in.
Kind.
She's like, I'm really good at this voice, and I'm going to keep doing it. That's fine.
This was also part of the TGIF comedy lineup.
Yeah, it must have been later. This is post Perfect Strangers.
This was like 94, 95.
Oh, that is way later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PB,
post Balky.
Wow. Can we edit that out?
No!
No, we're not editing that out.
Can you edit it so I say it twice? So what'd you love about this
show? Okay, so I just looked. It's a chance encounter at the shopping mall with their adoptive parents.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if that really happened?
So Tia is like the smart one,
mm-hmm.
And her adoptive mother, Lisa, Jacquet, she's a seamstress and makes like all these cool outfits.
Okay.
Tamara is, she's described as the boy crazy twin from the suburbs with her adoptive father, Ray, who owns a limousine service.
Okay.
So Ray lets Tia and Lisa move into the house and, because Lisa's about to
platonically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lisa was about to take a job that would have had the girl that would have forced her to move and then would have separated the girls. And it's just crazy. And they have this neighbor, Roger, Marquise Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he was so cute, but he's like in love with both of them, which let's face it, that's not realistic.
You don't think
they
so?
They look the same, but they had totally different
personalities. I think you fundamentally misunderstand what makes guys tick.
I guess so. But anyway, I loved the show. I loved, like, the crazy outfits that they wore. And I loved, like, their hair was big and curly. And they were just, like, I don't know. I was like,
I'm into it. I would have watched
it if I was
young enough.
I was like, I want to be like them when I'm a teenager. They just seemed so cool to me.
I think I would have really loved Sister Sister if I was younger. But I was too old by the time that show came out.
And I don't know. I could not get enough of this show.
What was the name of those twins again? Yin Yang Twins.
The Yin Yang Twins. What are you talking about?
In real life.
Oh, Tia and Tamara are their real names.
Oh, they use their real names?
Yeah.
Weird.
They use their real names.
Okay.
This was their star vehicle. This was like what put them out there. But now one of them is on like one of those talk shows.
Yeah, like The Talk or the Real or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure what the other one does. But I did see in my news feed the other day that there's a Sister Sister revival happening.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Like a TV show?
Yeah.
I bet they are the moms of identical twins and they discover each other at the mall. I guarantee you that's how simple it is.
I don't know.
We'll
just find out. A little bit like, let's leave the classics.
I mean, you...
You know, like, let's leave them alone.
Can't we just leave classics like Sister Sister alone?
fuck off. That show is great.
I love that that's the show you're using to make that argument. How can we possibly touch Sister Sister at this point?
Yeah. What I mean, kind of like... animal would take that show and try to bring it back and just...
Oh, I need the dongle.
Okay.
So... those are all your shows?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good, because we are over time and Land wants to kill us. I will finish with one that is kind of a cheap shot. It's for everybody. When you stayed home sick as a kid from school, you finally convinced your parents that you were sick and you didn't have to go to school. What did you watch?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not playing.
I used to watch, like trash TV. If I was alone, I was definitely watching Jerry Springer. I was definitely
okay. That's
like,
not what's coming. I don't know if you can tell from my previous list. I am not into that kind
like,
of thing.
I was like,
oh, sorry. Price is Right.
Oh yeah, I loved this.
God, I love Price is Right. It's so weird because you're a kid. You don't even know what things cost anyway, and you don't have any money, and you don't know how to shop for anything.
Yeah.
But you're like...
You're like, you could take a boat or a house. They're probably worth the same amount of money, right?
Yeah. It's so funny when you are an adult and you see, they're like, you won 2 jet skis and a trip to Greece. And you're like, I wouldn't want any of that. Or I'd want the trip to Greece. But like, now I got to pay taxes on jet skis. I don't even live near the water. Like,
yeah.
It was just, it's so funny. But
I watched this around the same time of day, right before or right after. I watched, hey, anybody remember this from the Karen Kilgariff episode?
What?
Sit and Be Fit.
Oh, Sit and Be Fit.
Sit and Be Fit.
Yeah.
It was, came on around the same time. It was when I was spending the day with my grandma. We were like really going for it with her. I was sitting in her lap just putting layers of makeup on her while we watched The Price is Right.
That's amazing.
And Sit and Be Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my sister Parley and I would watch, a lot of times would watch Price is Right together. We would... Law and Order. Yeah, I don't know. I love Bob Barker and his creepy long microphone. Why did he have a skinny long microphone? Nobody knows.
Know.
And he would hold it with 2 fingers. Gross.
Do you know what I remember most about Bob Barker?
What?
His line from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
The price is wrong,
bitch. Yeah.
Seeing that as a little kid, and I was like, this is comedy gold.
Yeah.
This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Bob Barker's cussing.
Not going to say a lot about Price is Right. I feel like we all get it. There's not a whole lot of deep diving to do on Price is Right. All I will say is, was dying to spin that wheel as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Let me spin that wheel. And Plinko was the best game.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Plinko, where you drop this disc down the thing and it would go plink, 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 all the way down, and then you'd win the money at the end. No?
Okay.
Well, listen, guys. Thanks for...
Hopefully you're still with us.
Yeah. And send us your favorite TV shows,
I
want to
know what yours are. I'm sure we left a lot off. I'm sure we all have a lot to talk about.
We're just 2 people.
We are just 2 people.
Send us your favorite theme song. Like, even if you don't like the show anymore, but you still love the theme song, that's what I want to hear about. So send me your favorite theme songs.
And also,
Greatest American Hero, I'm looking at you.
I want to say a quick thank you to a listener, Derek.
We have a guy listener?
Derek sent me, and he sent us on the soft spot thing.
Mm-hmm.
This, is it a GIF? A GIF? I always say it wrong.
I say GIF.
The animation of the ladies dancing, and it says, when you finally find the right squad to vibe with. And I'm no lie, every time I get sad, I start watching this again.
So we do use your...
So we love when you send us
stuff.
Send
us your content.
So thank
you, Derek.
You
can send it to the soft spot. You can send it to Meg Malloy. You can send it to Julian McCullough. I will respond, I promise.
That was a real treat.
Thank you, Derek. And thank you guys for listening. Hey, listen, just rate and review us everywhere.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
It really helps us out. Give us some 5-star stuff. Grab your friend's phone, put 5 stars on that. and go vote on November 6th.
Yes, go vote.
Bye.